GNC563. It's Monday, March 29th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, folks, last show here in Texas. Boy, I'm ready to go home, and my lovely wife is ready to meet heavy home as well. And talk a little bit about that here in a second, but you know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the great state of Texas via the Geek News Central Portable Studio, overlooking Greater Texas. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Again, my name is Todd Cochran. I encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcasts available via the podcast link on the website. You want to get signed up so that you can get our newsletter. Our newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about today in the show, including articles that have been submitted by our audience. And if you have something that you want to submit for a future show, you can do that by sending an email to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Or you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. That's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, it is my last show here in Texas, and boy, it seems like I've been on the road forever. I left Honolulu just before the start of South by Southwest. Was out to San Francisco for a week. Been here in the Central Texas now for, I guess, going on 10 days. But I wrap up my business and jump on an airplane Wednesday morning to get back to Honolulu. Been pretty crazy busy, really have been getting ready for really spending no time outside of the hotel room except when I was out doing my consulting stuff, because we've had a huge amount of influx of new advertisers, getting all the quarter two stuff ready. Matter of fact, I spent all day Saturday and Sunday getting all that stuff finalized and getting ready to really put tens of thousands of dollars in podcasters' pockets over at Blueberry.com. So we're jazzed about having probably what was going to be our biggest quarter ever, and bringing on a whole bunch of new advertisers to a variety of different shows on the network over there. But, yeah, so I didn't get to enjoy too much of the area over the last couple of days, but I will be headed home and looking forward to getting there. The wife has a honey-do list that's about this long, double-spaced. And, she woke me up at about 4:30 this morning trying to print something, and something was happening. She couldn't print. And so, yes, it's good for me to be heading home and taking care of the homestead. So, anyway, here I am in Texas, last show. Very rare daytime show. Normally I do this at night, so it's unusual for me to be recording the show this early. And so, I'm going to get this thing knocked out. I got a couple things I want to do tonight. Primarily go out to dinner with some folks, so I want to get that done before it's that hour. Of course, I want to welcome all the Ohana to the show. Those of you that are longtime subscribers of the podcast, thanks for being here. Those of you new, again, I want to welcome you. Of course, you can be part of the Ohana by just staying subscribed and being part of the family. A couple of things going on here for you. We're going to go ahead and kick off that iPhone app contest. And I was really trying to figure out how we were going to execute that ad. Now, I mean, execute the contest. So far, I've had two developers say that they wanted to participate in this contest. And I got to thinking, would it be fair for me to ask them to do the full app development without a guarantee that one of them is going to get paid and the other one isn't? So what I'm going to do initially is I'm going to ask those two iPhone app developers to essentially make the design. Make me the screenshots of what it's going to look like. Give me all the little, basically explain the functionality you're going to build into the application. and submit that. And then what we'll do is we'll have a contest where the listeners of this show review the two designs and decide which app will be the app that we'll go ahead and pay $1,000 to the winner to do the rest of the app, payable upon delivery of the app. And I'm assuming we'll have to figure out if we're going to do an approval of what to the App Store, but that will be the layout there. Now, I'm sitting here watching my main computer that I do all of my notes with, and it's telling me that Chrome wants to die. And if Chrome is going to die, I am going to be very upset because there is it's not going to be good because all of my articles are loaded in Chrome. I have never seen Chrome ever just decide it's going to quit working. So I don't know if it's going to recover or not. I see the hard drive going here like crazy. We may have a show to go into. Let's see here. Can I save this thing before it dies? Oh, boy. I don't know. Well, we'll see what happens with this, if this thing will actually come back online after it closes. And maybe I'm going to have a show here or not. Isn't that, that is just, the thing's been sitting there all peaceful and quiet the entire time as I was prepping for the show, and then it just decides it's going to up and die on me. And, all good plans go to waste whenever you're trying to do something live. So I'm watching the hard drive crank here. You know, this is what Firefox normally does. Normally, Firefox is the application that fails on me. So let's see what happens when I relaunch Chrome. I'm going to hold my breath here because you guys might get to see a podcaster scream for the very first time during a live show. So let's see what happens when we relaunch it here. Come on, baby. Talk to Daddy. Oh, yes, there we go. All the different pages. Whew. Dodge a bullet on there. But anyway, what we'll do, let me go back and talk a little bit more about this iPhone app contest, is that we'll have those submitted, and I'll probably leave a couple weeks here for the developers to get their designs in order, to decide exactly how they're going to present it. I'll leave it to each of them on what features are going to be available in the app when they design it. So we'll see what happens. And I want this to be fair. Obviously, I don't want someone spending 2 months on development of an app that they're only going to get paid $1,000 for. So, the two designers, keep that in mind. Let's, we can keep it to a relatively decent design on the first go-around. And then, don't make it so you're basically going to lose a bunch of money. But we'll be fair with you. And let's see what happens here. So anyway, get your designs together, get them into me over the next couple of weeks, and then we'll have the audience members decide whether or not they are going to decide which app is going to be the app that we're going to push forward on. As always, if you have want to get some stickers and swag, all you have to do is send a self-stamped envelope to the address that is in the show notes, and I will basically, once I get that self-stamped envelope, we will fill it with stickers and some stuff and send it back to you. So my wife has told me there's a bunch of those waiting for me at home, so I'll be getting those turned around and out as soon as I get back. What else is going on here? Let me look at my list here. I don't have a lot to talk to you about before we get into the regular content, which is probably good. So we'll get into that here in just a second. Let me go ahead and make sure that everything is still recording. Yes, everything's still. Did have a couple of, actually one voicemail that was called in from since the last show, and a number of emails. We'll get those at the end of the podcast today. Again, if you have comments on the show, geeknews@gmail.com or the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Well, this is not a good sign because Google Chrome has once again decided it is going to crash. There is obviously something that is being loaded on Chrome that it does not at all like. So It looks like a Shockwave flash plug-in has crashed. All right, well, I know how to fix that. We try to load this thing again, but let's take care of a little business here before we get started. GoDaddy, been a longtime sponsor here of the show at geeknewscentral.com, and we hope that you'll consider them as your domain register or virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account provider when you're looking for online products and services. They've been very good to the show, and I know that there are many of you that listen to the podcast that have used GoDaddy services over the years. And we want to remind you, of course, that we have a full line of promotion codes that you can get involved with and using when you get to the checkout counter when you're using their services. And when you get to that checkout counter, don't forget the promo code Todd, T-O-D-D. That'll save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Of course, ComSale will get you .coms at $7.49. That Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. We've actually had a service issue today, and actually on one of the servers we have with the folks at GoDaddy, and this is very rare that we end up having an issue. Actually, it was self-induced. Angelo called me this morning and said, Todd, I did something wrong in a configuration file, and the server is currently unreachable. And I said, okay, call customer service. And he was able to get through within about 5 minutes and get to a second tier level service. And they've been taking care of the box, and that was a good thing from that standpoint, and being able to squared away for us so that the server would come back online. So, you know, I am very troubled here today because I am not having much luck in getting Chrome to cooperate. Is this thing going to cooperate with me? It might. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed here that it's going to stay online. So something going on with Flash is where it seems to be the failure point. But, okay, we'll keep our fingers crossed that it's going to stay up online and it's not giving me another error message, or this may be a very, very short show. Hey, of course, I want to remind you as well that if you're looking for books available to have an Audible book, audiobook, to consider audible.com. Audible has achieved great success in having titles in business, classics, erotica, fiction, history, romance, mystery, sci-fi, fantasy, self-development, kids' books as well. And they're all accessible through the audible.com website. And, you know, Audible is a new sponsor here at Geek News Central. And consider picking up a trial over there at Audible. And you get a free audiobook from our sponsor, of course. And if you want to listen to it, Audible has it with over 75,000 titles in virtually every genre. And you're going to find what you're looking for. Get a free audiobook and a free 14-day trial today by signing up at audiblepodcast.com/geeknews. So let's go ahead and get into regular content here for today. And hopefully Chrome is going to cooperate with me. First article up is one by Robin Good over at masternewmedia.org. And he's got the title of this is How to Find and Choose the Best Domain Name for Your Website. You know, one thing that I have always found challenging is when I'm looking for a domain name for a website, they're either all taken or the ones that I want are priced at $10,000 by some domain squatter. And it can be a challenge. It really, really can. I've been lucky in some instances where I've been able to go and buy through auctions, been able to buy different domains that I've wanted from time to time or picked up domains that have expired. But really, you have to work very hard today to find a good domain name, considering the thousands and millions of them that have already been registered. And sometimes you just have to get out your checkbook and buy the ones that someone is squatting on or may have that they're not using. But this guide here that Robin and his team has put together on how to find and choose the best domain name for your website is really good. It's a series of YouTube videos that you definitely have to check out. I think it's about 10 different basically short tutorials, and this actually might be the page that is causing me some heartache here. But there's actually 10 different articles here, everything from how to choose marketing SEO aspects, selling your domain, how to consolidate, lock your domain, talking about domain name responsibilities, common mistakes, strategies. So it's a pretty in-depth article. So definitely check this out. And if you're looking to, you know, pick up some domain names, this may give you some tips on, you know, how to formulate and which the naming sequence that you're going to have for a new domain name for a new website, and some strategies on how to buy a domain if you need to buy one. And of course, the folks over at GoDaddy have a great domain auction service that you can use to pick up domains, which I've used quite a bit, and pick up most of my domains at. So I have this link up in the show notes for you. All right, in the LA Times, Google is saying that mobile services are now partially blocked in China. And it appears that the Great Firewall of China is starting to take down some of the servers that are services are making them unavailable through the Hong Kong sites. The mobile version of its search, email, mapping, and social networking service is down. And they put up a new tracking page that gives the status of its services in China to indicate what is up on online and what's not. And so this will give people that are in and out of China just a basic look at what's going on with that continuing battle that's going on there. And really, it's not a battle. The Chinese are just blocking the different services available. And so we'll see if this cat and mouse game, how long it continues. And I'm sure at some point the folks in China are going to be cut off in a large way to most of the different Google services. So this is an article up in the LA Times. All right, information out on the iPad. Of course, this is the week. As a matter of fact, our winner of the iPad for our contest that we had last month, his has been shipped. It is on his way. Mine has been shipped as well, the one that I ordered for myself. Being that I live in Hawaii and there's no Saturday delivery to my location, I'm assuming, based on it being shipped today, that I may have it before the end of the week. So pretty excited to see that come through, and we'll be talking about that on the show following the reception of that. And we'll be talking about what's forthcoming and how that is basically my experience with it. Of course, there's probably going to be 5 million reviews around the internet on it. But I'll probably focus on media consumption, and specifically podcasting and new media, because that's the thing I'm going to be most interested in talking about with this device. And we'll leave the apps and the different stuff for different vendors. But I was looking at some of the pricing. Wall Street Journal is basically come out and talked about their monthly pricing, which is not anymore, and it's basically the same price as their print version. You know, why don't they just, if you buy the print version of the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times, why don't they just include the online version as well? I don't get what they're doing there, but anyway, that's the indication coming through that there's not going to be a lot of deals. And of course, magazine provider or magazine creators, newspaper companies have to try to save their souls at this point. Their businesses are failing because we've all moved digital. And if they think they're going to squeak out a bunch of dollars from us, I would be willing to pay a much lower price for, let's say, Wired, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, to get it exclusively through online, where I could just get it there, and I would probably subscribe to 4 or 5 different things. But when the pricing is almost the same pricing as the print, it just doesn't make any sense for me to, you know, if I'm picking up those periodicals, to, you know, pay full price for digital. I don't know. I just don't. What do you guys think about that? Geeknews@gmail.com. Are you guys going to subscribe with your iPads, or have you subscribed to the online version of those periodicals already, or different ones? And how are you consuming the media now? Let's talk just a little bit about cameras. I don't talk a lot about cameras on this show because I'm not a camera guru. We'll leave that to Andrew Darlow. He's a longtime listener from the show. He usually fills us in on what's going on in the camera space. But I was really intrigued when I was at South by Southwest and seeing the Nikons, that especially the D500 that was capable of shooting, I believe the D500 was the, or 5000 was the version that you could shoot HD video with. But Canon has updated its EOS Rebel T2i, and the body of that camera is $899. And it's the first sub $1,000 model to offer high def video. Capture is limited to 720p. Along with, of course, the Nikon D5000 is also available. Now that's priced at $729 for the body. And so anyway, with the Rebel T2i at $899, and an update to their last version. I think this is pretty cool that they've updated to make it make this price point available to all of us. And of course, I'm invested in Canon cameras, but I was really stoked with what the Nikon could do. And of course, both the D5000 and the T1i and the T2i cameras, even though they're capable of doing HD at 720p. It was all basically in the sensor and the quality of video that you would get between the two. So maybe, Andrew, maybe if you're listening to the show, you can weigh in here between these cameras. And, of course, I think that the body of the camera that has the better sensor is about $2,000 on the Nikon side. But I just can't see, you know, when you've invested in lenses, it makes it very difficult to make the jump because, you know, none of these lenses are interchangeable. So I'm kind of curious, those of you that had picked up last year the T1i, what has your experience been on shooting HD in that? And if anyone has picked up the new T2i on the Canon side, love to hear you guys' thoughts on this as well. So what are they saying? Oh, they're saying here that the Canon's update to the T1i and is currently the only sub 1000 to offer 1080p 30, 1080p 24, and 720p 60. So that's so this is where I missed the subtext of this article here. So not only can you go 720p, it's actually capable now of 1080p at 30 frames and 1080p at 24 frames. That's pretty remarkable, because I think that was my biggest complaint, was that the cameras were only capable of going to 720 initially. Now, this just may move me off the fence here. I'll have the full review up on PC Magazine. Sorry for the confusion there in the beginning. I just didn't read far enough down in the article. But 869 to 952 is basically the price point that's being shown on the website from a variety of different vendors, but very, very cool. 1080p 30, 1080p 24, and 720p 60 available on this new Canon EOS T2i. So are you going to buy one? If you do, let me know. All right, over on Slashdot, there's a pretty good video linked here, and actually the video link is over on YouTube that talks about NASA's next Mars essentially next Mars experiment, where they're going to send essentially a new rover, but the rover is going to be not the size of the current rovers, but almost the size of a Mini Cooper. It's going to be a Mini Cooper-sized Mars Science Laboratory, which is named Curiosity. It's going to crawl the Martian surface under steam from a nuclear power plant. And so that's kind of interesting. I'm sure it won't be running on steam. I'm sure it'll be all electric motors, but they're talking about the science behind getting this onto the red planet. But very, very cool that they're going to send a Mini Cooper-sized Mars Science Laboratory. Now, the question I have is, if they had problems with the other rovers getting stuck, you know, if this thing is has any weight to it, this thing may roll off the platform and get bogged down. So be curious to see what type of wheels. But anyway, check out the video simulation that they have up. It's a video simulation by Miles O'Brien, and the voice should be very familiar to many of you. I have the link up in the show notes for you. Now, they didn't have to do a study. This study, I think we all should know. Okay, check this out. Fatty foods may cause cocaine-like addiction. A new study in rats suggests that high-fat, high-calorie foods affect their brain in much the same way as cocaine and heroin. The rats that gorge themselves on the human food quickly become obese. Have you ever opened some chips, a big bag of chips, and sat down to watch a movie? Have you noticed how you just can't stop eating them? You know, they didn't have to do a study. I think we all know that fat food tastes good, right? You know, otherwise we wouldn't all be fat. You know, the American population would not be as heavy as it is. So, you know, there's a reason why, you know, diets and stuff don't work. The food sucks. It just doesn't taste good. And if it doesn't taste good, people don't want to eat it. So, you know, that's why so many diets fail. Now, if they could have food that tasted really good and filled you up and had no calorie content, whoever does that will make $1 billion. They really will. You know, they will, because then everyone will get skinny and they'll still enjoy eating the food. So, you know, take some of these studies and you can run them by me and then pay me whatever it costs to run the study, and I can give you the answer on some of this stuff, as many of our Akamai audience members can as well. Okay, next article, and being, you guys know I've got an electronic background, worked on electronics for 25 years, have worked heavily in digital electronics. And there's an article here that I just don't know if I agree with completely. It goes on to say, does car safety problems come from outer space? And what this is really in reference to is they're saying that because cars have computers in them, cosmic rays, gamma rays, whatever it may be that they're saying is causing issues, is that energy from outer space is causing a particle flip in a circuit to change a bit, making instead of a zero be a one, essentially causing circuits to carry out a benign action that may be reprogrammed to carry out some unintended action, like a car going to a uncontrolled acceleration. But anyway, live science scientists are pointing to cosmic ray radiation as a plausible mechanism behind the sudden unexplained acceleration report to have occurred on late model Toyotas. Okay. We all know we have to reboot our computers once in a while. We have to shut off our iPhones because they lock up. You know, Mac computers never crash. So, you know, those can run for thousands of years without being rebooted. Ha, ha, ha. You know, software doesn't crash. We all know that this electronics are susceptible to just about anything. And, you know, I can almost bet you that car electronics and the system that are used to power them are some of the most stable electronic circuits in existence. I'm being sarcastic. Really, what do we power cars off of? Well, a battery, which is recharged by a generator. I'm sure that generator is very stable, has very clean voltage. I'm sure none of that any of that noise of that power a generating source makes it down into the other end of the components. How many of you have got your cars and you've turned them to an AM radio station and you hear that bzzz behind? It's, you know, it's noisy. Maybe not in newer cars, but late model cars, you have that issue. So I would be more inclined to think that issues with electronics are probably being caused internally versus by cosmic ray radiation. Now, it's possible, but I think they're really going out on a limb here and saying this is a plausible mechanism behind these issues. So any else got any electronics background? What do you guys think? Cosmic ray radiation causing bits within electronics to go to a zero from one, or would you be more inclined to think it was just, you know, the car's own electric system that is not real clean? That's where I would put my money. All right, another article on the iPad. Are publishers putting too much stock in the iPad, or are they just doing it wrong? This is some studies that are starting to come out. Some teenagers are being asked about the iPad and what they think about it. And one response was from an individual, I need a keyboard. Even my phone has that. It's really all about input. You know, but the thing is, we're not using keyboards themselves on our iPhones or even some of the Androids. So I don't understand where this particular 18-year-old's comments are coming from, because we're using the screen already as a keyboard. You know, I think that publishers are willing, should be putting their weight into the iPad and other devices being the salvation. But I think the problem that they really have is how their pricing plan is going to work. But looking at this from a 18-year-old perspective, they think it's basically going to be useless, specifically because it's, you know, it's too big, and that it doesn't fit into their digital lifestyle. And I think it's probably pretty correct as 18-year-olds are compared to, because of the way they use their phones, which are different than which many of us use our phones, because they rely completely on their phone, whereas many of us probably rely a little bit on our computers and our phones as well. Okay, over in the UK, this is an article on Tech Dirt. Police are telling cyber cafe owners that we're not asking you to spy on their users, but wish you would. Well, what they want, what UK London Yard wants them to do, is to put up big posters behind every computer that are basically saying, basically you can be monitored, and they're asking report on customers that are suspicious. Can you imagine walking into a cyber cafe anywhere in the world and seeing a poster behind you that was maybe an FBI poster or a London Yard poster, and it basically has, you know, some information about you're being monitored or something? You would probably just, like, turn around and leave that place, wouldn't you? I'm sure this is a this is something that's probably going over very well with cyber cafe owners in the UK. Love to hear anybody in the UK chime in here. But, Scotland Yard, not London Yard, Scotland Yard. I'm an idiot. So that is the poster, yeah, a poster from Scotland Yard in the back of behind every computer in cyber cafes. So I'm sure you guys in the UK got a good laugh out of me here just a second ago. All right, new RFID tag could mean the end to barcodes. A new printable RFID tag is expected to start be making its way onto the scene here real quick. Researchers from Suncheon National University in South Korea and Rice University in Houston have built a radio frequency identification tag that can be printed directly onto cereal boxes and potato chip bags. The tag uses ink laced with a carbon nanotube to print electronics on paper, potentially transmit information about a cart full of groceries. So this is interesting. It's basically you dump your groceries into your cart like you do now. Instead of going to the through and getting everything scanned one by one, you just walk through a little area that's probably set up so it goes one cart at a time. It scans what's in your cart, and then boom, instantly you have a total of what your bill is by it pinging all of the RFID tags and essentially making checkout counters obsolete. Now, you can almost bet if this works, you will see the end, the absolute immediate end to all checkout clerks. It'll transform the supermarket business overnight. I just got an email from Angela. A text message. Very cool. That's good news. Apparently, our server issue at GoDaddy has been completely resolved. Good tech support by them folks over there. Very, very good. All right. New iTunes rules complicate iPad magazine opportunities. Apparently, Apple has revised the terms of service. This should come as a surprise for its iTunes software, adding a new feature to send apps as gifts. However, the new feature comes with restrictions that may limit the flexibility of magazine publishers to market their wares as they see fit. Essentially, what Apple is saying is they're going to prohibit the gifting of in-app purchases and in-app subscriptions and upgrades. Now, what this means is you can't buy someone virtual goods within an iPhone or iPad app. You can buy them the app, but you can't buy them the goods in the actual app itself. So in other words, if there's something they're selling in the app, that you cannot gift that to someone else. So apparently this information coming out of Apple today is not going over very well with the newspaper people and magazine people, because it really makes sense. What would be a smart thing for the New York Times or Wired or any of these magazines to do? Well, the smart thing would be is to say, you know, take everyone that has downloaded the app and gift them a free 3-month subscription or something to the magazine on the application. That would definitely limit their marketing ability. So we'll see what Apple comes back on this and how they clarify it. But, you know, it doesn't make sense that they are going to do that, because wouldn't you want people to be able to not only buy someone the app but also buy stuff for them for their app? Just makes a lot of sense. That it doesn't make a lot of sense what Apple has done here on these new rules. So we'll see what comes out if it gets clarified. Okay, of course, we know that Verizon is working like crazy to roll out their LTE network. And, of course, their LTE network is their basic version of 4G. We know that phones are not going to be available until 2011. So even though they keep hyping that 4G is coming, we're not going to have a lot of opportunity to test it until next year. But it turns out that Verizon and AT&T are not the only players in this game. Basically, there's another satellite operator that has been purchased by hedge fund Herbinger Capital Partners that have bought satellite operator SkyTerra. They're going to be rolling out LTE services via satellite. So does this mean that we're going to be able to now, instead of buying from Verizon, AT&T, we'll be able to buy a WiMAX type of capability from a satellite provider? Kind of interesting if it is. I didn't know that was signal was capable of being carried that far, considering probably those satellites are geosynchronous. So we'll have to see what happens here with this. Maybe they're not that far out. Maybe they're lower, but still. What type of devices would you have to have 4G or WiMAX coverage via a satellite? So time will tell. They're talking about maybe even just using it as a resale device or extra capacity for Verizon and AT&T as well. All right, interesting stats on iPhone and basically all mobile operating systems. Over on Engadget, they're talking about a study that has come out by AdMob, where today the iPhone/Android market share is fast approaching even Steven. Right now, it looks like, if I'm reading this this chart correctly, right now the iPhone web-based traffic share is at a little bit above 40%, and the Android is very quickly narrowing the gap, especially within the last 3 months, as would be expected based on how long those phones have been available. But they're basically within, it looks like, 3 or 4 percentage points of being very close to the iPhone traffic. And because the Android is available on more mobile providers, it makes sense to me that Android would be gaining here in market share very, very quickly. And this should concern the iPhone folks, because as soon as the Android surpasses iPhone in web-based traffic, that's a big win for those that are, you know, for Google and the Android operating system. So we'll see at some point if the iPhone starts rolling out into to other service providers. Okay. There's a big issue, of course, we've talked about this before, in space, that all these satellites that go up, the large majority of them don't come back down, because once they get up there and their usability basically is their lifespan is exhausted, there's really no way to deorbit most of the satellites that are in orbit above the Earth. A company called CubeSat, starting next year, is going to be deploying what's called a CubeSat parachute with satellite launches. So basically, this sail will be built into satellites that are launched. And basically, once the satellite is no longer usable, then the operator of the satellite can deploy the parachute. And basically, it's just a big sail. It opens up wide. And this will be used to deorbit the satellite safely. So this is some pretty exciting stuff here. That they'll be able to start adding to satellites at some point. Now, I don't know how big the package is and what it's going to add to cost of satellites, but it's definitely a cool concept that if some point we're able to miniaturize these small enough so that they can be maneuvered towards old satellites and connect to them somehow and deployed, we can start deorbiting some of the space debris that's up there. The tens of thousands of pieces, large and small, at some point they're going to have to clean that up. But pretty exciting stuff, and we'll see what happens with this technology over the next couple of years. Okay, Boingo is going to be bringing $1.99 pay-per-use Wi-Fi to the Apple iPad. So you're going to be able to load this app. And if you want 1 hour's worth of Wi-Fi where there is a Boingo hotspot, you're going to be able to purchase it right on your iPad and have access for $1.99 an hour to Wi-Fi. I see Boingo quite a bit in airports and different places, so it'll be interesting how well they do with this. In all honesty, I just wish that Apple had made this device capable of having a EVDO device connected to it so that I would be able to not have to pay another, $30-$40 a month for another 3G or 4G service. Now, the one I purchased was only the Wi-Fi version, as I didn't need another bill from AT&T, to be quite honest with you. So it would be nice to, maybe someone will build an adapter or something where we can plug in existing EVDO cards into the iPad in the future, but I pretty much see my using mine at home. I don't see it using it too much out and about. Time will tell. All right, the space shuttle has been cleared for an April 5th launch. NASA has given the approval for the launch of Space Shuttle Discovery on April 5th, and that launch will happen at 6:21 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, or 10:21 GMT, and they're on a 13-day STS-131 mission to the International Space Station. They're going to be delivering supplies to the station. And it appears that this leaky helium valve has been concluded that it's going to be able to operate safely. So good to go for the April 5th launch of STS-131. Hey, the folks over at Universal Music, they're looking for an intern. Well, this intern position is kind of interesting. They want this intern to spy on peer-to-peer networks. So Warner Brothers in the UK has published a job listing for an intern. They want you to spy on known piracy mediums in order to gather information and report back to the studio. This job is going to pay £17,500 per year. And this is a perfect internship for someone that is going to college that wants to spy on folks that are using peer-to-peer networks. Oh, wow. Now, it goes on to say the listing doesn't simply imply that the company expects interns to turn in specific individuals, but really, what do they really expect here? Are they going to want them to write research papers or trends or what? If you want an intern position in the UK, you can make $26,000 spying on peer-to-peer networks. Maybe you can actually use peer-to-peer networks and get paid doing it. over on ArsTechnica.com, this fiber offer of rolling out 1 gigabit internet access to a community between 50,000 and 500,000 people has gotten a lot of communities into a frenzied state. Now, I don't know if my wife would agree to this, but imagine, you're the mayor of a city Actually, you're a city councilman. Okay, you're not even the mayor. You're a city councilman in North Carolina city of where is it actually at? It's in Raleigh. Okay, in Raleigh, North Carolina, the city councilman has said that if Google picked Raleigh as the test city for this offering, he would be willing to name his two unborn twins, Sergi and Larry. I can imagine me telling my wife, "Hey, honey, we need to take one for the team here. We need to, if Google comes to Honolulu and puts fiber in our area, we're gonna name our two unborn twins after the founders of Google." I could foresee a baseball bat being broken out, and me being pummeled. I can't imagine that this guy has talked with his wife about this. Do you guys think this guy by the name of Bonner Gaylord has really talked to his wife over this? His pledge is to name his offspring after Google's co-founders. Of course, they are caveats. The twins must be boys, so maybe he knows already that they're girls. So maybe he's playing a fast one here. And, of course, Google must come to Raleigh. So, boy. There is no way I would name my kid Sergi. There's just no way. Would not happen. Would you let your husbands do this? I guess if the wife is a super geek and loves broadband as much as I do, she might be inclined, but I don't know. It'd be definitely would not go at my house. There's just no way. There's no way that it would. That's for sure. All right. Apple is, of course, on their iPad deliveries. They have basically run out of current stock, and new pre-orders have been delayed. If you haven't ordered, tough. You're not going to get one now until April 12th. But you may have a chance of getting one if you go to Best Buy. Best Buy is going to have them in select stores. So watch your local advertisements. It's probably going to be a big in flyers on Friday of this week. Now, we've talked a lot about the atom smashers out there, particle smashers. We've talked about the Hadron Collider. But how many of you really know what's going on with the CLOS work? Well, there's a good article, Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Particle Smashers But Were Afraid to Ask. And so we know that the Hadron Collider has been ramping up, and they're getting ready to basically go full power here soon. So, some questions have come out by people. So if you are interested in this, I'll have this link up in the show notes for you to check out. And you can have all your answers, hopefully all your questions answered via this article. All right, over in the UK, the BBC has a good article that the government is facing a public backlash over its plans to switch national radio stations over to digital transmission. The Communications Committee of the House of Lords have said there is public confusion and industry uncertainty. It said that people are still buying analog radios, which will be out of date in a few years, and the government has set a target date of 2015 for national and regional radio stations switch over from FM and AM to digital. It doesn't make any sense what they said in that article. Why would they be switching from FM and AM? They would just be going digital. But the company has warned there could be a major public reaction against the plans. I guess HD is what it is, so maybe that is the case. But anyway, it says between 50 and 100 million analog radios will become largely redundant after 2015, and around 20 million car radios will need converters. The committee recommends more advice to be given to retailers. So those of you that listen in the UK, what are you guys hearing on this? What do you think about this switch to going purely digital on both audio and video on all of your national transmissions that I guess you guys have to pay a license for right now? You do have to, in order to legally watch the BBC. So I'd love to hear your feedback on that. All right, Microsoft is defending IE8 following a hacking contest. Apparently, IE8 did not do so well. Last Wendy's annual Pawn to Own Hacking Contest at CANSEC West Security Show in Vancouver, British Columbia. Pitted security experts and researchers against each other to see who was a top hacker. And, of course, a variety of browsers fell. IE on Windows 7, a non-jailbroken iPhone, Safari running on Snow Leopard, and Firefox on Windows 7 all fell to this hacking contest. But Microsoft has addressed these issues, and they said that, hey, we try to address everything, but we can't be perfect. we can't avoid every attack. I was like, you're going to say that? You're going to say, okay, yeah, we have a bug, we'll fix it. But in describing that they can't count on every situation is that's what those folks make big money for, to be able to determine, you know, every possibility and figure every contingency. Obviously, hackers are going to find stuff, but I think it's pretty incredulous that he would say that. But yeah, maybe not so much. And again, IE8 wasn't the only browser that fell, so I guess they shouldn't feel so bad. All right, if you live in Houston, I know that we have some listeners of the show that live down in Houston. Clearwire 4G has launched in Houston, so if you have been waiting for that, that's now available. You can get Clearwire 4G. That means those of you that have Sprint 3G, 4G cards can probably now connect up to 4G wireless in Houston as well. So this is big news today. Of course, most other markets are getting most major markets are beginning 4G this year. It seems to be Texas has been outstanding. I'm getting 4G here. It's outstanding. It really, really is. I've been on 4G all 10 days I've been here. And plus, we've got 4G in Honolulu too. I'm traveling to places where there is this great access. So it is nice to have the extra speed. Of course, I've been touting HTML5 here, folks, for a while as something that I'm really excited about. I continue to be ramped up. I continue to be very excited about the future of HTML5, especially when it comes to audio and video consumption and how it's really going to revolutionize how media creators like I put our content up on the web. No longer, you know, it's not immediately, but let's say 3 to 4 years from now, really there'll be no need to use any flash encoding services like Blip. It's just, you know, everyone's machines will at some point in the near future, based on what browser you're using, be able to just load the web page and, based upon the video encode, just play the video encode as it is without having to, you know, go through these extra steps of converting something to Flash or making a Flash version available. So it's exciting to me, but the folks over at Computer World and their software section are not as excited. Now, we know things are not going to change very, very quickly, but the iPad is forcing groups like CBS, Google, a variety of different other websites, Google and YouTube and Vimeo and all these other sites are having to put in play HTML5 and in the kind of the standard it is now, so that when you're going to sites that are Flash-enabled on your iPad, on your iPhone, what do you see? You don't see nothing. You just see a box there, right? Well, people have realized now that they need to get their sites compatible to these devices. The iPad is not necessarily going to be what I would consider a mobile device. I don't think it's being classified as that. But it definitely is going to be a device that's going to be used, and people are going to want a good experience when they're going to a variety of sites to look for content. And to spend $500 on a device that can't see video, the folks are going to be blamed, or the site owners. And Apple will take some heat from it, but those site owners that are smart will have HTML5 in place by April 3rd, at least to make it available. So when, you know, there'll be HTML5 and Flash, because not all browsers on all are HTML5 capable yet. All right, over on digitaltrends.com, you guys heard about this self-destructing USB stick? How many of you have a knife from Swiss Army? You know, Swiss Army knives have been around for years. You know, they're the MacGyver, basically a MacGyver knife. They have 25 different apparatuses you can pull out. And, you know, it's everything from a pair of scissors to a screwdriver. You know, they are the ultimate MacGyver knives and tools, I guess, for a better word. But Swiss Army has partnered up with Victorinox for embedded a USB stick inside the Swiss Army knife, and basically it uses a thumbprint technology to get you access to the device. But what's pretty cool about this USB stick is if someone tries to break into it, it self-destructs. And there was a contest run that started in January when the Consumer Electronics Show was going on, where a $100,000 prize was offered to anyone that could hack into one of these USB sticks. And that did not, nothing happened. A lot of people tried, and the company has been able to brand their USB stick secure and unhackable. And now you can get these in a variety of sizes between $75 and $269 US. And it's an actual USB memory storage device that will self-destruct if it's tampered with. So pretty cool stuff. Okay, if you're getting ready to get your iPad in the mail, the Apple has basically a guided tour available for you. I have that linked up in the show notes for you. Those of you that are still using Blockbuster, Warner Brothers has made a deal with Blockbuster, and this is pretty good if you're a Warner Brothers movie fan. Movies like The Blind Side with Sandra Bullock is now available to basically rent via Blockbuster. And what they've done here is made movies available via Blockbuster through Warner Brothers at 28 days after they've been released to the box office. So a movie that's only been in the box office for 28 days is now going to be available through Blockbuster, unlike Netflix and Redbox. So this is a big win by Blockbuster, but it's a little bit too late. We'll see if Warner Brothers makes any other deals with any of the other providers. If they do, I don't know if this is exclusive with Blockbuster or not, but pretty big news today for the folks at Blockbuster. All right, Mac users, Apple's released macOS 10 version 10.6.3, so it's an update. And so if you haven't done a software update, please do so. And there's many fixes and improvements and issues ranging as updating for daylight saving time rules. And, this is if you live in Antarctica. They have some rules in there to improve that. iDisk syncing also specifically calls out one larger change. Mac OS 10.6.3 can automatically collect diagnostics and usage information from your Mac and send it to Apple for analysis. So that's an update to the software. So I found this over at macworld.com. All right, I'm at the end of regular content tonight, so I do have a voicemail to go into, and then some emails, and then we'll wrap up the show today. This was an early show for me. Basically, I've got a dinner appointment tonight in about an hour and 10 minutes, so I wanted to get the show knocked out instead of coming back to the room at 10 o'clock tonight and being wiped out and hardly being able to talk. Heck, I can hardly talk now even during daylight hours. So hope you guys have enjoyed this portion of the show. Let me go ahead and play this voicemail that came in, and then we'll get into a few email comments that have arrived as well. And again, 619-342-7365 is the voicemail number. Here we go.
Hey, Todd. Tom Wiles here, a.k.a. Trucker Tom. Listening to your latest podcast, you had a voicemailer that mentioned that you have some skips in your podcast that you're recording there, your mobile rig, your laptop. And that's actually been going on for quite some time. I guess I should have obviously brought it to your attention. I assumed you were aware of it. But I think you nailed it. What's happening, it's simply probably got too many processes going on, and for some reason Audition is getting a little bit behind. And so it skips every, it doesn't happen very often, but maybe four or five times during the length of the show. is just skipping a little bit. And so I have noticed that for quite some time, every time you're mobile, usually just about every time. I can't really say every time, but pretty much just about every time. So don't know what you can do about that, but other than try to limit the number of processes. Great show. Keep up the great work. We'll catch you later.
Hey, Tom, I have a solution for that, and I'm going to implement it on the next go-round, and that's basically my Zoom H4n, and I'm going to start dropping the audio track directly onto this device and using this as my primary recording machine. It basically adds additional step to the process, but I think what's happening, as you basically led on to, is that in this device, actually, when I have Adobe Edition loaded right now, I also have a audio program that's loaded. I have about 25 windows open in Chrome. I have an email client opened up. And this is just on a small 2-core Dell Latitude D830. So I'm sure what is happening here is this machine has, over time, I've just probably gotten too much crap on it. And there's too many processes going on, and that's exactly what goes on. Adobe seems to drop out. So on the next trip, I'll go to this directly, and it'll add a little extra time for processing the audio, but I think what it'll end up with is we won't hear those skips any longer. But thanks, everybody, for bringing that to my attention. It was definitely appreciated. And Tom, I hope things are going good with you. And thanks for calling. Everybody, make sure you check out Tom's show. And just Google Trucker Tom. You'll find him on find him online. I think it's actually truckertom.com or truckertompodcast.com. And thanks, Tom, for calling in. All right, let me go ahead and bounce into email here. And let's see here, where have I got? All right, I got an email from Chris. He says, "Hey, Todd, I received my Netflix Wii disc on Friday, which was also my birthday, so that was a nice surprise. Our family ditched the cable/satellite services about a year and a half ago. We used Netflix almost exclusively then for our TV/movie entertainment. We've been using a Roku for about a year now and love it. Now that we can stream Netflix through our Wii, we no longer have to move the Roku around the house every day, and the interface that they developed to use on the Wii is very cool. Slightly better controls of the content, like fast-forward and flipping through sections, but you can also browse the Watch Instantly sections without first adding it to your queue via computer. Have a great week, Chris in Florida." Very good news on that, Chris. That's cool stuff. So we'll see what happens. And, you know, I didn't say at the beginning of the show, but my kids called me yesterday, and they said, Dad, we turned the TV on, but all it's doing is a red light's coming on, and it's saying tube." So my Sony 60-inch television projection has died for the second time, and I'm sure the tube in it has went out. And so I have the repair guy coming on Thursday, and I'm preparing. Actually, the warranty, the Sony warranty already was gone, so I'm on an. So when I got the first tube replaced on the Sony warranty, so I'm getting the second tube replaced on the extended warranty, and we bought this through Best Buy. So I don't know what those tubes cost, but I'm hoping that we're covered underneath. My warranty dies in June, but if this happens again, I think that TV is going to be destined for some sale, some garage sale, and we'll have to pick up a LCD screen or something. But that's twice, and we don't watch that much TV. That's the thing that kills me. But the repair guy's coming on Thursday, so I have to be there to basically deal with him when he comes. But yeah, my kids are without being able to use the Roku right now as well, or play their Wii, etc. All right, I got an email from Bree. She says, "Hey, Todd, White House wants students' brainy broadband ideas." And this is an article on GCN.com, and it's kind of interesting here. The White House is looking for ideas from students and looking for submissions. So I have this link up in the show notes for you. You can check that out. Thanks, Bree, for that link. Got an email here from... I've been asked not to reveal the name. But it is, well, I'll just read this. A quick update regarding China and .cn domain names. GoDaddy has taken a stand with regards to internet censorship and the Chinese government. They decided not to offer the .cn domain name extension. The bottom line is that GoDaddy will not act as an agent of the Chinese government, but they'll continue to serve current customers in China. However, they will no longer offer any of the .cn extensions. Over the years, GoDaddy has worked hard to keep the internet a safe place for users around the world. They work closely with lawmakers to support advanced legislation to this end and operate a 24/7 abuse department and work to promote best practices with other internet providers. The plan is to keep up the good fight. We appreciate your support in this important ongoing mission. And I have a link here to an article that was up in the Wall Street Journal. But again, we talked about this in the last show about GoDaddy and network solutions and, of course, China, Google's ongoing battle with China over basically safety for those that are, you know, trying to dissent the government there. So I can't say who sent this to me, but kind of a little clarification on where they stood at or where GoDaddy stood in this regard. I think that was it. Just a few emails tonight. Kind of strange. And it is so early. People expect to be able to send stuff up to a closer time of the show going on. But I'm going to wrap this thing up. The last show in Texas, we'll be back in the studio. Thank goodness. I have so missed my studio in Honolulu. I'm ready to go home and basically get engaged there and have the show live. Of course, we'll be back on Honolulu Standard Time. The show will be produced on Thursday. Pretty late, so if you want to join us Thursday evening, you can do so. Probably get started about 8 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time, which is 11 p.m. Pacific or 2 a.m. Eastern. So if you're up that late or you're in another time zone in the U.K. or in Australia, feel free to join us. I'll be live. Of course, the live stream will be up at geeknewscentral.com. And definitely come out and hang out with me for the time, the late hour recording of the show. Thanks, everyone, for being patient while I've been on the road here. The show format is always just a little bit different when I'm on the road, just because it is. It's just the nature of the way the show is. But we continue to ramp up. The team does for NAB. We're excited about some announcements. I'll probably be able to make some announcements on the next show and what we're getting ready to introduce, and I'll be definitely sharing that with you guys as soon as I can. I'm pretty excited about what's coming, and you'll definitely be excited about what we're about ready to offer. Okay, that's it for now. And everyone, if you have comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. And I saw Cat chat on the chat. Don't give it away, Cat. We're not telling everybody yet. So everyone take care, and we'll see you next time, everyone, okay? Aloha.